A taste of a bygone era.
Smart growth. Bring people in with those interests. And again, the association with the quilts. The quilt culture and the history of the place. That is how they sort of move forward into the future.
Inside White Plains. Today in the Upper Cumberland. It was one of the largest plantations in the Upper Cumberland. At one time, its ground served as a home, an inn, a mercantile store, even a school. Now it is a city-owned facility that showcases the heritage and 1800 style of Allgood. Today we introduce you to Allgood's White Plains with Liz Mullins of the Friends of White Plains and UCDD's Mark Dudney.
Oh, I have always loved old homes. And I had driven by this house so many times and just loved seeing it, wondered what it was like to be inside the home. And so when the opportunity came to join the board of the Friends of White Plains, I took it. And it's just given me an old house to help bring back to life.
Can you remember the first time you walked through the doors?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. In fact, it was a time, it was in 2012, when the last family member had lived there, and there was an auction. And I had just gotten back from Italy the night before, and it was a bit jet-lagged. But the opportunity to go in that house was the next morning. So
you're like, I'm not missing this, right?
That's right, exactly.
I can sleep later.
Exactly, and it was as wonderful as I thought it would be.
Mark, what is the history of that piece of real estate?
Well, the house there at 2700 Old Walton Road in Allgood is tied up with the history of the community of White Plains. So it's sort of understood that the history of the White Plains community was is connected to William Quarles. He was a Revolutionary War veteran. The tradition tells that he came from Virginia with his family on Christmas Day in 1809. He named the entire area there White Plains because as he was surveying the area from an escarpment, it was in the wintertime, the prairie grass that used to thrive in that area looked white in the winter sun. And so that was how it was named White Plains. But then he came and built the original house there on the site of the current home.
So was White Plains ever a city or post office, anything like that, or was it really just a community?
White Plains was a community, but it was one of the major communities along the old Turnpike Road between Nashville and Knoxville that predated Putnam County, the cities of Cookeville and Allgood. So, you're talking about the early Republic. And so it was a center of commerce. And it was one of the larger settlements in what we now call the Upper Cumberland.
Interesting. How did the house come to be?
Well, Quarles, again, built the original house. My understanding is the original house burned in sometime prior to 1848. Quarles was actually murdered just a few years after he was murdered in 1814. But his grandson, Stephen Burton, built the house that is the current one in 1848. And then in 1958 is when they made the modern renovations to it. But the original house, in fact, there's an interesting architectural niche inside the house that reflects the pioneer heritage of these twin rifle cabinets that they actually used for home defense. So it's a beautiful antebellum home. It's got that stately look, but the original house was 1848.
Let's describe what he means by the twin rifle.
On either side of the front door, there are small cabinets, and you can imagine they're as tall as you might imagine a rifle, especially a rifle back then, which was quite long. And they close with just a little wooden latch that turns. And most people haven't seen something like that. I think they're fairly rare, and so they're always an item of interest in the home.
Between the
give me the 1958?
58 was when it was modernized to the where its current appearance. 1848 was when the current house was built.
So if you're in the home, can you tell the 1848 versus the 1958? Are there things that you point out to people?
You can. In fact, the early home built in the 1840s was a 4-over-4, basically. Four rooms down, four rooms up, entry foyer with a long hall leading to the rest. In the 1950s, there's a one-story addition that wraps around the lower floor of the house. And, you know, before that, there was no indoor kitchen. There was no bathroom. So this addition added a kitchen and a bedroom and a bathroom on one side of the house. It enclosed the back porch to a lovely sunroom. And then on the other side of the house is another two bedrooms and a bathroom. So it really brought it up to the 20th century at that point.
Let's come back to that because you've shared a term I know nothing about. Liz Mullins, Mark Dudney with us. We're talking about White Plains. Giving you some of the history of White Plains as we visit with Liz Mullins, who's a member of the Friends group that does so much to not only restore White Plains, but to make it a place that people can come and tour and enjoy. Mark Dudney is also with us. He knows a lot of the history of that area. All right, so Mark, you said it's what kind of style?
Well, it's considered, my friend Randy Williams, who is the predecessor in my role at the Development District, worked to get the home on the National Register of Historic Places in 2009. Did a great job. And in the National Register nomination, it is described as a fine example of a 19th century home that was modernized in the mid-20th century into the popular colonial revival style. It's got brick exteriors, side extensions, rear extensions, the chimneys. I think is there a chimney in every?
Yes.
In every room?
Yes, indeed.
Yeah, and so it gives it that stately appearance of the old antebellum southern home.
Did they do a good job, Liz, and be honest?
Mm-hmm.
Did they do a good job? Because a lot of times if you try to modernize an 1848 facility in the 1950s, you just do away with everything that made it 1848. Did they do a good job of trying to keep some of that?
They did. They really did. Really, in the modernization, it was more about that addition that went on. So they really left the original home in its original state. So the features are still there, the fireplaces. I do understand, and Mark, you may need to help me with this, but when you walk into the entry of the home, on the left, there's one large, we would call it a living room these days, but originally I believe it was two parlors, and that room was opened up at some point. And this is a key piece. There are two columns in there on either side of that opening. And I think I understand that they were at one time in another part of the house, perhaps on the front porch.
Yeah.
I don't know that we're real sure about that, but
I think that's
is that
right.
The case, Mark?
I think that's right. And when my friend Randy did the nomination, you're going by the best evidence that you can garner. But I think that is correct.
So what happened between the 1950s and the update and 2009 as we try to get this on the National Register of Historic Places? Was the home still lived in?
Yeah, Miss Martha Willis lived there until she passed away. In 2012, Mona and her husband, Dr. Scott Copeland, bought the property. And they really sort of saved it because they were afraid somebody from out of state might buy it who had no interest in historic preservation. And again, my friend Randy and his partner at the time formed the Friends of White Plains as a nonprofit. And I got involved, and several community members over there who had, you know, family ties to White Plains in the community, and we all worked together for several years, and finally in 2018, the City of Allgood purchased White Plains to use for experiential learning. White Plains has the tradition with quilt making. Mm-hmm. Andrew and Rachel Jackson have an association with the house. She actually made a quilt there called Mariner's Compass, which is shown on one of the outbuildings there. And so it's the home itself is tied in with the culture of quilt making. And so we were just tickled to death when Allgood acquired it. Keith Morrison, who is the city manager, was a solid partner with us from the very beginning. Allgood's been great. I have not been involved as much in the last few years. Liz is still a stalwart.
Was the home in good shape at that point?
It was in pretty good shape. Pretty good shape. We have not had to do much cosmetically in the interior of the original home. You know, when a home sits empty for a while, it does deteriorate in some ways. So
it's interesting. It almost deteriorates faster than when people are using it.
That's right.
Weird.
That's right. And so it did some, but that was more, interestingly, it was more in the newer portion of the home where there was some deterioration, and not so much in the older portion of the home. I guess, you know, after a house stands 100 years or so, it's pretty solid. And so we really haven't had to do a lot to the interior, to the structure itself. We have furnished the place, though, which has been a great addition to it in period furnishings. And Tennessee Tech has donated to us quite a bit of furniture that was in the Eads collection that was in Carthage. And so it really is lovely and period with the furnishings now.
Are there any of the furnishings that date back to the original home?
Yes. Some of the furnitures, that there is a bedroom, there's a bed that was, you know, of an original owner. There is the desk that William Decatur Burton used when he had a store. And the ledger is available that he used, and this desk is there. Family members have come forward with some pieces that they had that they are sharing back with the home. So there are, you know, in addition to the Eads collection, there are a number of original pieces there.
Our conversation continues. Some history. Liz Mullins, Mark Dudney are with us. We're talking about the history of the White Plains home. So far, we've talked just about the home itself, Mark, but what exists in the grounds that the home sits on?
I'm glad you asked.
Yes.
It's, again, it's associated with Andrew Jackson. He never lived in the house, but when he was, again, on that east-to-west road between Nashville and Knoxville during the days of the early Republic, there is actually, we have a receipt where he paid for some supplies, his party paid for some supplies with his signature on them at the inn that was there. Now, that was prior to the 1848 house, obviously. But it is documented that he was there. In the yard is what's considered the Well of Three Presidents, because White Plains was this part of the thoroughfare. All three United States presidents who were from Tennessee, Jackson, Polk, and Johnson, drank from the well out there in the front yard. And so you wouldn't know it to look at the yard, but it is a reminder. That's why it's an educational thing to have kids there, is to say, to help them know that their hometown ties in with larger national figures and events, and that this area was part of that.
Are there other buildings that stand on the grounds?
Yes, there are a couple other buildings. There's a cabin there that has been cleaned up and furnished. It's primitive, but it's beautiful. In fact, Jeff Jones, who's the chair of the Friends Group, is the person who's really taken this on, and it's just absolutely lovely, and it is open now. It's been open for about a year, and Jeff loves it so much, he will sit down there when we have the house open and have tours, and he'll say, I think I might just move in here. So it's a very peaceful, well-appointed place with a lot of history behind it. There is an old smokehouse as well, and then there is a corn crib that is original to the site.
And, what is that?
Well, it's the place where they used to store corn to feed the
really? Okay.
To feed the livestock. And maybe, I don't know, Mark, if it was used as part of the merchandise that was available there, or if this was just for the family and their livestock.
Yeah, well, just going back to the original settlement from White Plains was a farm of about 1,000 acres. Mm-hmm. So obviously it has narrowed way down. Mr. Burton became very wealthy and successful in different areas of business, and he actually had like a deer hunting preserve to give you an idea of the scale of the original place. There were also slave cabins. He was a slave owner. They were behind the house. There's not been any archaeological work done on that. After the Civil War, I think many of the slaves stayed there. There has been communication with some descendants from the African Americans who lived there with the Friends group, and there is actually some slave graves nearby White Plains at a residence.
Mm-hmm. Wow. When something is placed on the National Register, and in your work with the UCDD, I'm sure you're involved in this constantly almost, what happens in terms of are there rules that are in place? Are there things you can and can't do when that happens?
Yeah, well, once it's on the National Register, it's a courtesy designation. Whoever owns it, it does not impede their private property rights. That's a misconception with a lot of people. What we did, and this is sort of an ideal situation, it's this incredible cultural resource, and you want an entity to own and operate it, helped by an interested citizen group to make it be all it can be, essentially.
I was going to say, do you need volunteers?
We sure do need volunteers with all kinds of skills. There's, you know, with an old house, there's always something to be done, fixed, repaired. And so anyone who is interested, and in particular like carpentry or things like that, we could certainly use the help. Mark mentioned earlier, we have days when we're cleaning outside or cleaning inside or working on something. We've recently just renovated one of the bedrooms that was added in the 50s. To make it into a library where people can come and look at history of the home. Perhaps they are related in some way to one of the families that lived there. So, oh, yes, we always need docents, and we'll need them more when we are able to be open more often. So if you love an old house or like to tinker around with things that are involved, we'd love to have people. And, again, you can just volunteer through the website or you can contact me, you can contact Mark, we can, we'll get you linked up in any way.
Hopefully you'll want to take a tour of White Plains at one of these events. Easter will be here before you know it, we promise. Liz Mullins, Mark Dudney, as we educate you about White Plains, thank you both for being with us today.
My pleasure, thank you.
Thank you.